Good to see Brother Sadowski back. Good to see his daughter, Ms. Kroll. We're glad she's here. She may have a little tear in her eye because she had to leave her daughter at Pensacola Christian College. And it is a few miles between Pensacola and Maui, aren't you on? Or no, they're on the Big Island, okay, Hawaii. So, but it's a long way between those two. So you can kind of understand that she'd have a little bit of that. So you pray for them. Yeah, that's right. She can always swim over and see her. That's what a blessing. But we're glad to see them in service tonight. Pray for Mrs. Sadowski. She's got a leg problem, and so pray that it'll heal up. She'll be getting around better real soon. Remember to pray for her. Remember to pray for Nick McFate. He is in the hospital. They did keep him there, so pray for him if you would, and that they'll be able to figure out what's going on and give him some help. Brother Todd said his son, Justin, and his wife are doing tremendously better, but now his other son, oldest daughter, has caught COVID, all right? So pray for Michael and his family that maybe they can just keep it confined to the one daughter, and we'll see how that works. But do pray for them if you would, and just ask the Lord to meet their needs. And, you know, pray for these folks. They need a touch from God. They need some help, and I hope you'll just pray for them. We had some folks here this morning that, in a sense, they weren't visitors. They were returning after a long time absence. But I talked with them this last week, and they told me they had visited one of the mega churches around here. And they said, man, said all that crowd, and nobody spoke to them. Now, I hope. Y'all did, all right? It makes all the difference in the world. When I tell you it makes all the difference in the world when people are friendly, it really does. Makes a huge difference when you welcome people. And she told me this last week. She said, we went there. She said, but that just wasn't church. Said, I tried it several times. Said, but it just wasn't. So when they left this morning, I said, well, I want to know, was this church? And she said, yes, it was. So, amen. All right. So you pray. I hope they'll come and keep coming and become regular again. They used to attend. Like I say, they got married. I performed their wedding about 40 years ago. And, hey, I remember when Linda, she rode the bus. She was on my bus and came to church on the bus for years. And she graduated from our Christian school. And I remember when old Richard got saved, and I baptized him, and that's another story in itself, but we won't go there tonight. So, but anyhow, pray for them, all right, and that they'll be involved, they'll stay, and maybe get involved, get regular with us in the house of God. So remember to pray for those folks, pray for those that are sick. Don't forget, ladies, September the 25th is the ladies' retreat. It's a one-day thing. It is free, just a few hours, but all the ladies that have gone have seemed to really enjoy it, and so I encourage you to go, but you need to sign up, all right? You need to sign up. Be sure you do that on the sheet on the desk in the foyer. Also, the 19th, Roundup Sunday, I need you to sign up for what you'll bring food-wise, all right? And it's a limited menu. We're having beans, all right, red beans, and then chili and cornbread, okay, cornbread. I wish we could have some hoe cake cornbread. How many of you know what hoe cake cornbread is, all right? Most people don't, all right? I love that stuff. My grandmother made it. It was thin enough you could read the paper through it, and that's the best way. I mean, you talk about there was two, a top and a bottom and no middle, all right? So it was really good. So, but anyhow, that's coming. So we just want you to get involved. Be here. Do your best to recruit somebody to come with you, all right? Push, encourage somebody to attend with you, that we'll have a great day that day, and have a good Roundup Sunday. I've asked you to pray for me, be going to South Carolina. I'll be in South Carolina the week before Roundup Sunday, preaching to a group of kids, teenagers, and Christian school there for their Christian school revival. want you to pray. God will help me to know, first of all, what to preach, and then he'll empower me to preach to them. I hope you will pray about that, and I look forward to it. Looking forward to that, but I sure want God to lead in what's done, without a doubt. All right, ushers, if you'll come this evening, we're going to receive our Sunday evening. Grab one of those microphones there, all right? Grab one of those microphones. What number is it on it? Four. Number four, all right. You'll give us some sound there. And does it look like it's on? Is it red? There's a dot. Yeah, it's on. I heard it beating the tom-tom. All right, so Brother Smart, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. We just pray, God, that you have your will in the way in the service. Lord, be with those that aren't able to be here. Lord, you meet the needs in their life. And just pray, God, that you just give us the sermon we need to hear tonight, Lord, that we might take it to heart. And, Father, be with those that ain't able to be here tonight. Just keep them in the hollow of thy hand. Keep those that we've talked about, Lord, that need your prayers, Father, for sickness. And, Lord, that you'd heal them off the beds of affliction. It be thy will, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Receive the offering.
Once more in your hymn book, if you would, stand together, turn to number 138, throw out the lifeline. Song we haven't sang much, old hymn, let's sing it, number 138. Throw out the lifeline across the dark way, there is a brother whom someone should say, somebody's brother, will dare to throw out the lifeline his peril to share. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline, someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline, someone is sinking today. Throw out the lifeline with hand quick and strong. Why do you tarry? Why linger so long? See, he is sinking. Oh, hasten today, and out with the lifeboat, away then, away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline, someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline, someone is sinking today. You know, when I was working on songs for this, I came across this, and I said, well, there's one I haven't sang in a long time. And I got to thinking about the world situation of things going on today, and it's up to you and I to do that. Throw out the lifeline. Someone is drifting away. Lift it out together tonight. Sing that last. Soon will the season of rescue be o'er. Soon will they drift to eternity's shore. Joyce then, my brother, no time for delay, but throw out the lifeline and save them today. Sing it! Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline. Someone is sinking today.
Thinking you may be seated. I hope it's not you, all right? Amen. You're not the one that's sinking today, but if you are, we got a lifeline for you, okay? We'll fling it out there and give it to you. Once again, I'll remind you, if you did not pick up a sword of the Lord, there's new ones on the table, or on the table in the foyer. Please pick it up, take it home, and read it. I really like it when they all disappear, all right? I know that somebody's picked them up, and you take it home, read it, and then maybe pass it on to somebody else even. But I hope you will do that. I did not mention earlier, please continue to pray for Hannah Leak, Brother J.D. Leak's daughter. And, boy, she's just having a very tough time. She's going on probably the 11th week now of trying to figure out exactly what is the problem and how to help her. So would you pray that that will get settled? There was a test given this last week, and the result's not supposed to come in for a good while. To me, a ridiculously long time. But he said maybe the fact that they had to put her in the hospital will speed things up. So you pray to that end, if you would, and they could. You know, if you can figure out what's going on, then you can start helping, all right? But when you're shooting in the dark with your remedy, it's kind of difficult. So that's for sure. Take your Bible tonight to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. And we're going to read some verses here and give you a message tonight. We're going to begin reading in verse 1 and then read some words here and there in some verses and then go to verse 13. But if you're in verse 1 there, Joshua 24, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And in verse 3 it says, and I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. Verse 4, and I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. Verse 5, I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt. Verse 6, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt. I don't want you to look at verse 13, where the Bible said, and I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, of the vineyards and oliveyards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Our text tonight is probably the best known verses that are in the book of Joshua, all right? Joshua is the leader of Israel. And he therefore has their ear. They'll listen to him. He's called the whole crowd together. Truthfully, by the time we get to this part of the book of Joshua, the greater part of conquering the land has been accomplished, all right? The people have labored together. If you remember, there were 2.5 tribes that settled on the east side of the Jordan River, but the deal was you stay there, but you have to come with us to help conquer the land. So they had been involved, all right? All the people together, they had labored, they had conquered the majority of the land, but now they were about to face some individual decisions, all right? And the most important one involves your relationship to God every time. And Joshua spoke these words that are very well known in verse 24, and in, he said, you know, you choose what you want to do. But I want you to focus with me on three words: as for me. As for me. He said, now you're going to choose what you do, but as for me. That phrase, as for me, is found 24 times in the Bible. All of them in the Old Testament. All of them in the Old Testament. And if you study that phrase out, you'll find out in many instances it's God speaking to us. It's God speaking to his people, all right? And he's saying, as for me. But when you get that by an individual, it refers to what that individual will do, all right? As for me. Maybe, for instance, you go to a restaurant and maybe you order for your child. You know, they will have, you're at a real nice, fancy a Mexican food restaurant. You say, my son here, he'll have a hot dog. But as for me, all right, as for me. And it's what you're going to do, all right? There's some important personal decisions, that nobody makes for you. Nobody makes for you. The truth of the matter is, we could go to a restaurant, somebody could order for us. It really doesn't matter in the long run. That doesn't matter. But there are some decisions that you have to make, because nobody else can make them for you. We can encourage you, we can advise you, we can pray for you, but we can't make the decision. You must make it yourself. And what I want to do this evening, just for a few minutes, looking at that phrase, as for me, we're going to look at some of those, and I want to know, what are you going to decide as for me, all right? As for me, what's your decision going to be? Take your Bible, if will. Let's go to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 5, all right? The fifth psalm, if you would, and just flip over there for a moment. I want to look at one verse, as for me. Psalm 5, look, if you will, in the verse 7. Here it is. Here's the psalmist, and he says, but as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Personal decision, a personal decision. As for me, I will worship. I will worship. Now, I'll be honest with you. I think it's important that we worship. I think it's important. I think it's important who we worship, all right? Hey, I'll tell you this. I believe it's important where we worship. Now, the truth of the matter is, and I've heard it all, you know, people, well, I like to go out in the woods and worship. Okay, have at it. Truth of the matter is, you can worship in your backyard. You can. You can worship there. You can worship out on your boat fishing. You can do that, all right? However, I have found in my life that it's the rare individual who worships God elsewhere if he won't do it in the house of God. If he won't do it in the house of God, the place that God's appointed for us to worship, it's a rare person that does it anywhere else. Now, they'll talk about it. They'll lay claim to it, but I'm not sure it happens very often, all right? Hey, we need to worship in the right place. We need to worship in the right place. There is no substitute for being in the house of God. No substitute for it. Man, I know we came through weeks about a year ago or so or more, I don't know, where we, you know, everything was shut down, and We didn't get out, and everybody was hemmed up. And originally we started that. I would go up to the office at the school. Brother Dunbar would meet me there, and about four of y'all would meet us there. And we'd do the preaching from there and broadcast it out from that office. And man, wasn't like being together with everybody else. Just nothing like it. Then we got internet in here, and we could, or actually we recorded it here, and then we had put it up the next day. That was miserable. That was miserable. The only ones here, me and Brother Dunbar. I had to do all the preaching. He had to do all the amening, all right? And I got tired preaching, and he quit amening, all right? And so it was hard to do, all right? Hard to do. Man, you just need that being in the right place in the house of God. Boy, there's just nothing like it. Nothing like being there. We need to realize, hey, as for me, I'm going to worship. I'm going to worship. I'm going to worship in the right place. But not only am I going to worship in the right place, I want you to notice what that verse says about the perspective in worship, would you? Look there in verse 7, all right? And notice how it comes across there in the Word of God. He said, I will arise, you know, I'm going to worship. Verse 7, he said, I'll come into thy house, the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Hey, not only worship in the right place, but we need to worship with the right perspective. We need to worship with the right perspective. I believe we live in a day where people come very flippant when it comes to God. Very flippant attitude towards God. And we've worked real hard to bring God down to our level. And we think God will take anything we offer him. We don't have to make any sacrifice. We don't have to give of ourselves. But Lord, he'll just take anything, and he's so glad to get it. Wait a minute. That's not the Bible picture, okay? The psalmist said, I'm going to worship in fear. In fear. Hey, there is a God in heaven, and that God is so far beyond and above man that it ought to bring fear into our hearts to just come in his presence. You'll find many times in the scripture where folks found themselves in the presence of God and they were on their face before him. There is not that attitude, well, how you doing, old buddy? And I'll tell you this, I'm convinced when we first see Jesus, I believe it's going to be that way. I believe it's going to be on our face. Oh my, just like Isaiah said, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people. Same way, all right? That's when confronted with our God. It's not a flippant attitude. Hey, when we worship God, it ought to be in the right place, and ought to be in the right perspective. We ought to come with a heart of fear, a heart of love, but gratitude, respect, and fear before God, knowing that he is the Creator, he is the Omnipotent One, and we are his children. But wait a minute. You ever fear your parents? Man, I feared mine. I had some fear of them. We ought to fear God. We ought to come with the right perspective. The psalmist said, as for me, I'll worship. I'll worship. I'm going to worship in the right place. It's going to be in your house. It's going to be in your house. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying don't worship at home. I'm not saying get on your fishing boat and don't worship. However, I highly doubt many people do. Especially when they come back and tell the tale of the fish they caught. Hey, I don't know that. I don't think too many worship in the golf cart. But I realize you can worship the Lord at home, and that's okay. But man, God's appointed a day, and he said, this is the Lord's day, and we're to be in the house of God. We're to worship him in the right place with the right perspective. So as for me, I will worship. I will worship. But that's not all. Look in Psalm 26. Psalm 26, the 26th psalm. Would you notice there in verse 11? In verse 11, but as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. As for me, I'm going to walk right. I'm going to walk right. Worship is a good thing. It is right. We ought to worship. But the sad thing is far too many detract from their worship by their walk. He said, what do you mean? I mean by your life. That is your walk. And far too many people, our walk doesn't match the kind of worship we claim, and our walk detracts from our worship. We get in the house of God, it's kind of hard to worship God. Sometimes we probably ought to begin the service with the invitation. We ought to say, all right, now we want you to worship God, but you can't worship Him in the beauty of holiness when you live like the devil all week, so come and let's get right with Him, and then we'll worship. Too much of that, all right? And the psalmist said, not only will I worship, but he said, I'm going to walk right. I am going to walk right. Hey, there's one kind of walk, you know, in the house of God with some people, but another kind of walk the rest of the week. Hey, that's a problem. That's a problem. I don't put on my spirituality on Sunday morning. I hope you don't. Don't put my spirituality on and say, well, going to church, so let's get it. I'll wrap up in it, grab my Bible, find it if I can, tuck it under my arm, bring it to church with me, and I'm going to be right. Hey, but all week long we've been wrong. No, we've lived a life that's wrong. Hey, our walk, the psalmist said, I'm going to walk in my integrity. Hey, to walk in integrity, what is that? Well, that is in simplicity, in uprightness, in perfection. All right? Now, how are you going to do that? It takes a strong personal decision to do that. You make that decision, I will walk in mine integrity. I'm going to walk upright. I'm going to walk before men and folks will be able to see it. God said about Job, he was upright. Upright. Good testimony. Good testimony. That ought to be your walk. That ought to be your walk. We ought to find you at any time during the week. No matter what's going on, your walk ought to be right. It ought to be with a good testimony. I mean, if you're down yonder at pick a place, all right? Walmart, it's as good a place as any, all right? Walmart, and you get aggravated. You know, what do you mean? That's not the price that was on that. Well, don't rant and rave and tear up the cashier's stand, all right? You still got a testimony to keep. There. You got a testimony. Don't get too big pointing your finger and shaking your fist. Watch out. You still got a testimony. He said, preacher, you ever get mad? Oh, yeah. Yeah. But my wife slaps me and I straighten up, all right? No, hey, listen, yeah, we get mad. Sure you do. But wait a minute, you're still responsible to walk right. It's no justification. Say, well, you got to understand, I was mad. Oh, that makes it okay. That makes it okay. That's like a little child that says, well, I told you I'm sorry. After all, I only hit you twice. Come on, all right? I told you I was sorry. Well, that's not good enough. Hey, our walk. As for me, I walk in my integrity. I'm going to walk right. Hey, that's a personal choice. Personal choice. The truth of the matter is, most of you walk out those doors tonight, and I won't see you before Wednesday night. I don't see you. Most of we don't see each other, all right? We don't cross paths. And I don't see you, so I don't know how you're walking. But I tell you who does. People next door, they know how you're walking. Yeah, that one that, you know, backs into your car somewhere, they know about your walk. They know about your walk. Driving the other day, a couple weeks ago, turning left out of the exterior turn lane, if you will. Two turn lanes. Here's the inner one. Here's the outer one. I was in this one. And I'm turning left. Only problem was the one in the interior turn-only lane decided to go straight. And their car, or actually a little pickup, kissed my car. and we didn't appreciate being kissed. But I'll tell you, I didn't stop the car, get out, and stalk up to her and stomp up and say, "What in the world's wrong with you, woman?" Because it was a woman driver. Now, ladies, I didn't invent that. It happened that way, okay? But I did say, "Ma'am, didn't you know you were in the turn lane? You know? Hey, but wait a minute. I've still got a testimony. I'm going to walk right. Your decision. Preacher can preach to you. God can deal with you. But it's still your decision when you walk out of here how you're going to walk. As for me, I'm going to worship in the right place, the right perspective. I'm going to walk right. I'm going to walk in mine integrity. But that's not all. Look in the 55th Psalm, would you? The 55th Psalm. You'll turn there in Psalm 55 and look down there in verse 16. Psalm 55, verse 16. "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." Hey, as for me, so what's he saying? He's saying, as for me, I'm going to pray. I am going to pray. Look, the man who prays is concerned about his relationship to God. I'll just go one further. The man that doesn't pray is not concerned about his relationship with God. Just not concerned about it. You said, "Well, preacher, how you figure that?" Well, let's just put it on the personal level. You're married? Do you speak to your spouse? "Well, no, we haven't spoken in 2 weeks. Boy, I bet if we came over, the conditions would be icy in that house, wouldn't it? Woo! It'd be tough sledding. Haven't spoken." Now you say, "Well, of course I speak to them." Why? Well, for one thing, you want a good relationship. You want to maintain a relationship. You can't maintain a relationship with your spouse without speaking to them. You just can't do it. I mean, you can get out of bed, look at each other, and grunt, "Ugh." But that's not going to maintain your relationship. Because they can misunderstand, "Ugh." You might have meant it for good, but they might have think, "What are you saying?" You with me? You have to talk. Listen, if we're concerned about our relationship with God, we're going to pray. We are going to pray. And we ought to be concerned about our relationship with Him. We ought to be concerned. You may not be concerned with your relationship with your boss too much, but you better be concerned about your relationship with God. You ought to have some concern about it. Our prayer life. And when we're concerned about our prayer life and our relationship to God, our prayer life is more than just making sure God hears from us. Let me say that again. Our prayer life is more than just making sure God hears from us. A lot more important than that, okay? You ever tried to have a conversation with somebody who wouldn't talk to you? There's one thing I've found through the years doing personal work and visiting, knocking on doors. You get to some people, and especially with teenagers, you get to some teenagers and you have to carry on both sides of the conversation. You have to help them along because they clam up on you. Some of them, they do it because they're shy. Some of them do it, they're just a little backwards. And you go by and, "How you doing?" "Is everything going all right then? Having a good week?" "Boy, I'm glad to hear that. The kids at school treating you good?" "Yeah." "Well, how do you like school?" "Okay." Man, you can't get them. There's no sentences. It's just one word. And so you have to carry on both sides of the conversation. Well, listen, when you're talking to God, all right, when you're talking to God, it is not just for you to come there and tell Him, "Look, here's what I think. And I need to make sure you're hearing from me. The truth of the matter is our prayer ought to be such that we can receive from him. It ought to be such that we can receive from him. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, first of all, based on what we ask for. When you pray and you ask God for things, what are you asking for? Remember the Bible said we ask amiss, that we can consume it on our own lust. We ask for things that are just selfish with no concern for anything else. Dear God, I want you to give me $1 million. Why? Well, I got all these things I want. Got all these things I just can't live without. Well, you've been living so far without them. You can keep on living without them, but oftentimes that's the way our prayer is. It is strictly selfish generated, and it's as for me, Lord, I just want you to hear from me. But it ought to be with a request, Lord, what do you want me to ask for? What do I need? But also, Lord, what is it that you want to reveal to me? Lord, I've got some things going on in my life, and I don't understand why they're happening. I can't see where they're coming from, and I don't know what's going on. But Lord, would you show me what it is that I need? Would you reveal to me, Lord, what I need to hear and what I need to understand? Boy, if our praying to be more like that, it'd be amazing how our relationship with God would be. Can I just throw this out here? It might help your relationship with your spouse if you're taught like that too. Instead of just ordering them around. I've dealt with men that think it's their responsibility. I run the show, I'm the boss, and it's my job to order her around. You are an idiot. And I say that with a heart of love. But you're an idiot, okay? That's not it. I'm convinced. I've dealt with some men, I think the only wise decision and the last wise decision that their wife made was to say, I do, and marry them. Now, come on. You need to talk to them. You need to seek it. That'll help your relationship. And boy, if you're concerned about your relationship with God, you're concerned about what he thinks. You ever ask him what he thinks about you? You ever ask him in that prayer, and Lord, how am I doing? You ever ask him that? How am I doing before you? Do I please you with my life? Is my life pleasing you? Lord, here I am praying, but I find myself praying and asking just for stuff for me. Not to make me a better Christian, but just to make me what I think I want me to be. Lord, what do you want? Hey, listen, as for me, personal decision. Personal decision. Are you going to pray? Are you going to pray? What's prayer life going to be like? What's it going to be like? A lot of people, their prayer life's totally selfish. Totally selfish. And then they wonder why things don't work out the way they think they should. Hey, as for me, I'm going to worship. The right place, the right perspective. As for me, I'm going to walk right. I'm going to walk in mine integrity. And as for me, I'm going to pray. Lord, I'm going to come to you because I'm concerned about my relationship with you, and I'm going to spend time with you. And Lord, when I pray, I'm going to hear from you. I'm going to pray. Joshua 24:15, the verse where we started at, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua is saying very plainly, as for me, I will lead. I will lead. Joshua was concerned about more than just Joshua. Concerned about more than just himself. He had a determination to serve the Lord. But it wasn't just me. As for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. But he said, as for me and my house, he said, I'm going to make sure that my family was right also. I'm going to do everything I can to keep that right. And it's not just me, but Lord, it's me, it's my family, and I will lead them the right way. I'm going to lead them in the right path. Joshua was a leader. God appointed him to that position and gave it to him. Now, I'll be honest with you. You may not be the God-appointed leader in your home. And I just want to tell you, Men, that's your job. That is your job. God's given it to you. He's appointed you as the leader in that home, all right? Now, you may not be the appointed leader, but could you at least help? Could you at least help? You don't have to fight the one who is, all right? Some wives will not let their husband lead. Some families fight everything the husband tries to do and tries to lead. They resist it with all that's within them. It's like trying to put a dog sometimes in a bathtub, all right? And man, that dog's got all four legs stuck out like this, and you're trying to get them in that tub, and they can always find something to hang that leg on, all right? And that's the way it is in a lot of homes when dad's trying to lead, trying to take the position God's given him. Man, everybody's stuck it out. I ain't going. You're not going. I'm not going with you. I'm not going that way. You're not taking me there. Hey, listen, you're to be a leader, and all of you lead in some perspective, in some place, some area. You're a leader. Now, how are you going to lead? Will you step up and take the lead? Far too many people today, they're willing to, instead of leading, they just follow wherever the wind's blowing. Doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't make any difference. I'll just follow whatever's happening. Doesn't matter if what you're saying is right or wrong. I'll just follow you. I'll just follow you. Boy, God, help us not to do that. Joshua stepped up and said, I'm going to take the lead. I will lead. Oh, how we need people to lead their homes in this day. How we need people to work together to keep it going in the right direction. Man, encourage. Ladies, you may have a husband that is not the world's greatest leader. Okay? You may have a husband that's not the world's greatest leader. That doesn't mean you usurp the position. That means you encourage him. That means you be an encouragement. You help him to take the lead. I have been amazed. It's amazing to me how many ladies that just the right little suggestion can change things. If you just make, hey, you hear me? Suggestion. A suggestion is not given. Well, if you'd have done what I said. Well, that's not a suggestion, okay? That's not a suggestion. But boy, you could help. You could make a difference. You could make a difference if you just back that leader. Encourage that leader. Help that leader to lead. Hey, we live in a day of very feminine men. We do. Now, you older gentlemen, most of you older gentlemen, you're not that way. But I'm talking about the younger crowd. I don't even know what the current title is for the current generation, the Gen X's or Gen R's or Gen P's. I don't know what it is, all right? Can't keep up with that. But they're not the most manly, strong leaders. Right? They've been feminized by our culture. And it's been watered down. I've had that leadership role taken away from them. Hey, that's another reason we're struggling in this day. Hey, look, you men ought to take the lead. But ladies, you ought to help the leader. You ought to help the leader. Right? Hey, sometimes it's okay if you let him make a mistake. Without saying, I knew that was going to happen. You with me? It's not necessary for you to do that. Well, I knew we were going the wrong way, but I know we'd get in an argument. Just chill out, okay? It's not necessary to say it like that. It's just not. You can help that leader, all right? You can help that leader. Some men quit leading because they get tired of fighting the opposition to that leading. Boy, don't be like that. As for me, I'm going to lead. Now, all of you have a place where you need to be the leader. You need to be the leader. Be sure you lead right. Be sure you say like Joshua said, as for me and my crowd, the people that I'm over, the people I'm responsible for, we're going to do right. We're going to serve the Lord. Serve him. Look with me now in Psalm 17, would you? Psalm 17. As for me. Psalm 17, would you? Just right there. Psalm 17. Look, if you will, in verse 15. Psalm 17, verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. As for me, I'm looking to meet him. As for me, I'm looking to meet the Lord. All right? I'm confident I'm going to see. Psalmist said, I'll behold thy face. I'll behold thy face. One of the greatest verses of people ask, you know, preachers sign Bibles or people to sign Bible. If somebody asks me to sign their Bible, rare occasion, I sign it, and the verses I put under it is Job 19, 25 through 27. Where Job says, man, I know I'm going to see my Redeemer face to face. I know I'm going to see him. I know I'm going to see him. Job knew he was going to meet his Savior in the flesh. He said, though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And I'll tell you this, as for me, I know I'm going to meet him, and I'm looking forward to that meeting. Looking forward to that meeting. I'm looking forward to that situation where I'll be like him. Like him. Remember where the Bible says one of these days that the dead in Christ are going to rise and we'll all be what? We'll all be changed. We'll all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Changed to what? To be like him. We're going to get a body that's like his body. It's an eternal body. We're going to be changed to be like him. The psalmist there said, I'm going to awake, and he said, I'll be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Boy, that'll be the day of satisfaction. We get satisfied with too little down here. We get satisfied with too little as a Christian. We get satisfied with too little in service. We get satisfied with too little in separation. We get satisfied with just too little in our Christian walk. But man, you talk about when you ought to be satisfied, it's when we see him in his likeness. We'll be satisfied. I'll be like him. Why? The race will be over. The race will be over. It'll all be passed. The rewards will be given. The crowns will be given. That'll be the day that we stand with him. That'll be the day talked about in Revelation where, man, it'll be Hosanna! Hosanna! And the crowd's going to, man, innumerable throngs going to praise him. Be satisfied that day. That day. I ask you tonight, what are you going to decide? As for you, okay? Your position on that, as for me. Are you going to worship him faithfully, consistently? I mean, just staying with it. Are you going to walk right? Going to be able to do that and say, I'm going to walk right. I'm going to pray. I'm going to maintain my relationship with the Lord. I'm going to lead. I'm going to lead in the right direction and in the right way. How about you? How are you going to meet him? How are you going to meet him? You know, I believe sometimes if we don't make the right personal decision, we're going to meet him ashamed. Ashamed. Hey, if it was you tonight saying, as for me, what would it be? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd deal with us. Lord, help us to be honest, take a look at honest look at our own life, our own heart. And Lord, to consider, as for me, those personal decisions, those decisions that we make, nobody else is going to make them for us. We're going to make them. And Lord, as we consider those decisions, what's it going to be? How is our walk going to be? How is our worship going to be? Is it going to continue? Or are we going to quit on God sometime here in the future because we have something go against us? How about our leadership? How about our prayer life? Lord, are we looking forward to the day when we meet you, stand in your presence? Lord, help us be honest. And Lord, if some things need to be changed, Lord, I pray you'd help us change them tonight. Use the invitation for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would